Blog Talk Radio.
Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Hello, everyone. Once again, it's on Sunday, and once again, it's the Master Plan. As usual, I am JT, a.k.a. the Master. I'm here again talking about the NBA, some NFL, some other crazy news that's been going on. You know how I roll. I give you all kinds of crazy stuff. That's just the way it is. And you know, the number to call in is 347-637-3220. I'll say it again. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. The chat room is an open forum. You call in. I mean, you put in the chat room. It's open. Whatever you want to say, whatever you want to express your feelings, I'm open to it. I can handle it if you can handle it coming back the other way. Like I said, it's the Master Plan. Let's listen to this a little bit, and I'll be back in a minute. I'm back. Like I said, this is it. This is the Master. And it's a fine day on this Sunday. In the first Sunday of June 3rd to be exact. You can believe this is the sixth month of the year we're already into. They're doing OTAs. The NBA's got playoffs left and right. We're going to be talking about that. And we're also going to be talking a little boxing, and that's what I want to open up with. There always seems to be somebody, a named celebrity, for some odd reason, you put them on... For some odd reason, some celebrities got problems, and a lot of these guys nowadays that, you know, were making millions of dollars are having child support problems. It's been well documented in the last few weeks or whatever that T.O. has got child problems, and he made a whole bunch of money, arguably in Hall of Fame. Football player. But the problem is this. T.O., you were in the AFL, part owner of a team, and for some reason, the diva came out of you, and you didn't want to play. And your severance package, besides getting kicked to the curb, was only $50. What's that, the train fare to whatever town that's closest to you? 50 miles away, a dollar a mile. Come on, T.O. You claim you want to be all this and that, but you do things that contradict what you say you've changed to. So, in my opinion, I liked you when you were with the San Francisco 49ers. I liked you when you were with the Philadelphia Eagles. I liked you when you were with the Cowboys. But then you went, because every stop you've been the diva. And every stop you seem to get worse and worse. I thought you had cleaned your act up when you were with the Cowboys. And then you went to the Buffalo Bills, and I really thought you had a head on straight. And then you got hurt when you went to the Cincinnati Bengals. And, you seem like you completely lost your mind. And there's no way, there is absolutely no way in all God's creation are you going to be able to get a legitimate job with the NFL anymore? Your career is shot, my man. You know what? I close my show off with be careful how you treat people. That's one of the things I say. Be careful how you treat people. What goes around comes around. And T.O., it's come around to you. You have abused and misused, and no one's going to deal with it anymore. You've come to the end of the road. And you made these babies, and now you got to pay for them. And you have no means other than no viable means for a steady income than your body in NFL. So what are you going to do? You going to go into wrestling? You going to go into MMA or something like that? That's the sad thing about some of these athletes that come to the end of the road that haven't had a plan B or a after career plan, or has been given guidance on having a plan, but hasn't followed that guidance. And T.O., I think you haven't been following that guidance, whoever gave it to you, because I think you're in trouble, my man. I really do. And I hope you straighten yourself out, because those babies that you made, those child support payments that you have to dish out to whoever, they're not going to go away until they come of age. So you got to deal with that. You got to make that happen. So hopefully you can do that. Have to I don't know what to tell you, my man. You got to straighten your life out. Got to straighten your life out. I know people have been trying to point you in the right direction, and you haven't taken that guidance, and it's come to bite you right now. It has come to bite you right now. So you need to straighten it out, or you're going to crash and burn like so many other athletes that haven't paid attention on what you're supposed to do, and get into trouble and do things that you wouldn't want your son or daughter to do. So straighten up, fly right, my man. Times are wasting. You got a lot of life left in you. You're only in your 30s. You got a lot of life in you. Anyway, I'm getting off the beaten path here about T.O. That's not my main thing, what I wanted to do. What I wanted to do is this. Everyone heard of former heavyweight champ Evander Holyfield. Well, Evander, just like so many, and the reason I said this is because I know Father's Day is coming up, and I know I've been bashing fathers. I did it last week with a guy who fathered 30 kids, 33 years old, and fathered 30 kids, 33 years old, and fathered 30 kids. And is paying as little as $1.49 a month for child support, and went to court to get that, to change that, you know, because he had a minimum wage job. I mean, you know what, brother? That thing you got between your legs, you need to cut it off, or somebody needs to make it so you can't have any more kids, even if you'd like to do. You can't have any more kids. You'd be shooting blanks. But that's not why I'm talking. What I'm talking about is former champ Evander Holyfield. Allegedly, now I'm not accusing him, I'm not saying he does, but he owes, now check this out, this is a crazy amount, $372,000 in child support. And because he may owe that amount, and I say may, I'm not accusing him, I'm not saying he's a deadbeat dad as of yet until proven, because I'm of the belief if you aren't, you're innocent and proven guilty. There's only one country that I know, there's probably a few out there, but there's one that in France, you're guilty and you have to prove your innocence. In this country, you're innocent until proven guilty by a jury of your own peers or by a judge, depending on what the case is. And this is child support. Evander Holyfield was one of the great boxing stars of the 1990s. Everybody knows that. And amassed more than a quarter of $1 billion in purses during his career. Apparently, though, $250 million doesn't go as far as it used to. Holyfield, who filed bankruptcy in Georgia in 2008. Now, how many of these guys, you know, I recently had, a few weeks back, I had said that Warren Sapp, because of his debt, and part of that debt was that child support, had filed bankruptcy. Evander filed bankruptcy in 2008 and reportedly owes an excess of $372,000 in child support, and he might wind up going to jail if he does not resolve the issue. In both 2008 and 2009, his 54,000 square foot home that he has in Georgia went into foreclosure. Now, two different years, 54,000 square feet. Why do you need a home that big? 54,000 square feet. Are you kidding me? The home, which sits on 104 acres, has 109 rooms. Last time I looked, Evander was just one person. And even if he had 30 kids, he don't need 109 rooms, including 17 bathrooms. I mean, come on, man. I know you want to live the style, but how much of a style do you have to live? Three kitchens, it had 17 bathrooms, three kitchens, and a bowling alley. And I would think so. He's had numerous financial issues in the years since. Well, you know, you buy a house like that, And you go into foreclosure two times. The first time, I try to get rid of that sucker. You know, it's time to unass that and go somewhere else. Trim down your finances, man. You've got to take a fortune, even just in taxes, to pay for this house. 54,000 square feet. Now, you can get a decent house, and I'm just a modest house, everyday Joe. An everyday Joe, a 1,500-square-foot house, maybe a 2,000-square-foot house. It's a decent house. It's not anything elaborate. And I'm not saying Evander has to go to pare down that much, but I'm saying just imagine if you get a 1,500-square-foot house. All right, you got 54,000 square foot house, okay? And you take divided by 2,000 square feet. So how many homes could you get out of that? 27 homes. That's a development. You have a 54,000 square foot house. You get a decent 2,000 square foot. That's not over elaborate. That's 3-bedroom, maybe 1.5 baths, maybe 2 baths, a living room, dining room, a kitchen, and maybe a basement. You got a basement in that, and now you have a little bit more square feet. But I'm just saying, living space on the first floor, 2,000 square foot house. You're talking 27 homes out of that 54,000 square foot home he has. That's a development. That's 27 different families that can live in this house. And you have a house just for yourself. Maybe you have a girlfriend. Maybe you have a wife and you got two or three kids, but you still don't need 54,000 square feet. What are you, crazy? I mean, it's all right. You got the money, whatever, but you're not boxing like that anymore. You don't have it like that. It comes to a point in time where you got to set aside the ego. Trust me, I know. You got to set aside the ego and pare down to what is comfortable and what you can deal with financially. On Saturday, the Georgia Department of Human Services has gone to court on behalf of Holyfield's 18-year-old daughter. He owes $372,097.40 in child support that has gone unpaid since April 2010. So it's been over two years. So that's $372,000 of unpaid child support for 2 years. So that's 24 months. So let's take this $372,000. I'll just even it out. Divided by 24 months, which is $15,500 a month that he was supposed to be paying. Okay? That's a lot of money. That is a lot of change, my man. A lot of change. Holyfield has child support payments of more than $500,000 a year. He has at least 11 children. Now, this is another guy. Come on. And it's got to be a black man. Why, man? Why? You got to prove your manhood by the amount of kids that you father? And the ladies, what are you doing? You know this man is irresponsible. You know he's irresponsible. I know the feeling may be good. I know he may have the gift of gab. He may have a silver tongue, so to speak. But where is your pride? Ladies, where is your pride? My brother, Evander Holyfield, what are you doing? 11 kids. We knew he had, I knew he had several kids. But 11 kids, and you're living in a 54,000-square-foot home. You're not boxing anymore. So what did you do with your money? I thought you were humble guys. Apparently you're not if you own a 54,000-square-foot home. I know it's Georgia, and to live in the South, you can get more for less. But 54,000-square-foot house, I mean, I got a problem with that. I really do. I understand you're a celebrity. I understand a lot of these celebrities have to front in that lifestyle. But why? There's a lot of celebrities that don't do that. There's a lot of celebrities that live outside of Hollywood or live outside that lavish lifestyle, live a normal life, keep themselves grounded, keep their kids grounded, and are responsible enough with their money that they know that fame is fleeting. So you may have your 15 minutes of fame. It may last several years with that 15 minutes. But sooner or later it's going to end, especially if you're an athlete. Your lifespan as an athlete is short, very short. Some athletes go into the 30s, late 30s, maybe early 40s, but it's rare that they can sustain that level of performance that they have to be able to make the serious cash. And then you have to have a plan when you get young. When you're young and into the sport, you have to have good people around you that give you a foundation, keep you grounded along with your family, keep you grounded, point you in the right direction financially and mentally, that you don't blow your money it's an endless fountain, like it grows on trees. So when it comes to the end of your career, you have something to fall back on for years to come, because you have to understand that, and I'm pretty sure that everyone says this And when you're young, you think this is going to last forever. But it all comes to an end sooner or later for every athlete, regardless of what sports you're in, professional sports you're in, it all comes to an end, some earlier than others, depending on the sport. And then you have to be able to use that money or whatever life skills that you have to sustain yourself for the rest of your life, whatever lifespan that you have. And a lot of these guys, and it's a lot of coming to light that a lot of these guys are have very bad financial problems years after they get, and it's not too long after they get out of the sport. You get basketball players, football players, boxers. It really doesn't make a difference what sport you're in. You got to be responsible enough to be able to save that money and invest that money or have that money turn over to you, because that money helps you to have a comfortable life after your sport and helps you transition into whatever you're going to do for the rest of your life after you've played that professional sport. Evander once earned $34 million for a rematch with Mike Tyson in 1997. And, of course, one of those fights, that fight, he got his ear bit off. He has yet to announce his retirement, but the last time he fought was a little more than a year ago, May 7th in 2011. Now, I can't believe that he's going to fight anymore, because he's 49 years old. I mean, George Foreman is one of those rare fighters that can fight when he's that age or a little younger. But Evander, it ain't going to happen, brother. It ain't going to happen. You better get yourself together. The other story I wanted to come up with is this. Now, you know that there's several states in the nation, and I think California being one of them, and I can't think of the other ones. I think New Jersey is maybe one of them, that you can smoke pot for medicinal purposes. Okay? Well, guess what, people? I got some news for you that may have you flocking to the Motor City, home of Motown. Now, check this one out. I got an article here from MSN Now. If you want to Google it, you can Google it. It says the Michigan Supreme Court gives Detroit a choice to legalize pot. America has helplessly watched Detroit shrivel since the recession. But now the city may have found a foolproof way to get people to move to the Midwest metropolis. The Michigan Supreme Court is holding a vote on August 7th of this year that will allow the city residents to decide whether to legalize marijuana. Now, before you start packing your hemp duffel bags, okay, there are some caveats. You can only have an ounce, only on private property, only for people 21 and older. So any of you 30, 40-year-olds that are mobile enough, that enjoy the hemp, enjoy the Mary Jane, enjoy smoking pot, and think you can get a viable income in Detroit, pack up your bags, pack up your marijuana plants, and you can move to Detroit. And you can, if it all goes well, you'll be able to smoke pot in the city of Detroit. Only on your own property, only an ounce, and only if you're 21 years and older. That's the three caveats. And it's possible Detroit residents might vote no. Now, why? I have no idea if it's going to generate revenue, because Detroit is one of those cities that needs financial help desperately. But the city is having enough trouble keeping street lamps lit, like I said, let alone police and pot possession. So the measure is as practical as it is progressive. Okay? Now, do you think legalizing pot would help Detroit? Now, suppose Detroit legalizes it. Now, legalizes as you can use it openly on your property, I should say, only on your private property. The rest of the country will look at that and see what it does to the population. My guess that Detroit would be worse than it is now. You probably have a lot more. I don't know about a lot more crime, but let me put it this way. You're home, okay? You have your friends over. You're smoking pot. You only have an ounce, so you smoke. Say you smoke the whole ounce up, whoever amount of friends you have. Now, what happens when those friends leave your house? How crazy it's going to get. Right? Is that going to be treated just like driving while intoxicated if you have some alcohol, or driving under the influence of an illegal substance? Well, it's not illegal, but you're under the influence. So once you leave that person's house, if you're high and you're impaired behind the wheel, I would gather a police officer would be within his bounds to arrest you. So there's a lot of things going on here, and a lot of things to be ironed out. We can legalize pot in the city of Detroit. How are you going to get it? Okay, is it going to have open like they have in Amsterdam, where they have if I'm not mistaken, they have open shops where you can go buy pot and different types of pot. How are you going to get it? How are you going to be able to legalize it? And you can only have an ounce. So you go to the downtown Detroit and buy an ounce of pot. Now you take that, and by the time you get from your house, from the store or wherever you purchase this at, and get to your home, you get stopped. Now you got an ounce of pot in the car, maybe sitting right on the seat because it's supposed to be legalized. You got it sitting out on the seat. Police officer stops you, says, "Sir, what's that on your seat?" You tell him, "Well, it's my pot. I just bought it." He says, "Okay, where's your receipt?" Okay, you show him your receipt. You just bought it. But the law says, and this is what I'm saying here, the law says you can't have the pot. You can only have the pot only on private property. And it, is your car considered private property? Can you be arrested for transporting? Or can you be arrested for intent to distribute because you have an ounce of pot in your possession, even though you have a receipt? Who's to say that you're not going to sell that on the street to someone? Who's to say what you're going to do with that pot? You can tell the officer, "Well, I just bought it, and I'm on my way to my home to smoke it." Well, what kind of proof is there? You understand what I'm saying? What kind of proof is that to say that I'm going to distribute? I'm going home, and I'm having some friends over, or me and my wife, or you're not married, it's just you. I'm going over to smoke some pot. What kind of sense does that make? You legalize it in Detroit. You can have it only an ounce. You can have it only on your property, and you have to be 21 years and older. But how do you get it? Where do you get it from? What happens when you get it from wherever you get it before you get it to your own property? You get stopped. Do you have to farm it? Do you go to a pharmacy? If you go to a pharmacy, you still have to drive from the pharmacy home. And what happens if you get stopped? The cop says, okay, I see an ounce of pot on your seat. Like I said, show me your receipt. Okay, you have a receipt. Well, what's that cop saying going to think? Well, just because you have an ounce of pot and you have a receipt, who's to say that you're not going to go down the street after you leave the cop and sell it, break it up in nickel bags or whatever, and sell it? What kind of proof what would you have if you get stopped by a cop if you buy it from someplace, a pharmacy, a pot store, whatever, that you're not going to do what you say you're going to do with it? That you're going to take it home, I'm going to smoke it myself, or me and my wife are going to smoke it. You have no proof. There's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things that got to be worked out, not just saying, oh, you can have it only on your property. Well, how do you get it to your property? Can you grow it? Well, you can't grow more than an ounce, because if you do, then you're going to be considered a drug dealer. There's another thing. You can have it delivered, just like you have a prescription delivered. If it's a pharmacy, or even if it's a pot store or smokehouse or whatever, they have delivery service. They can deliver it to you. Well, I got a problem with that, because the fact is now you're allowed to have it. But if it's a smoke store, do you get a certain variance or something to have more quantities of an ounce of pot because you're a store selling it? And if you are that and you're delivering it, now you're only supposed to have an ounce and only on your private property. Now that you're delivering, you may have more than an ounce. You may be delivering ounces. So are you a drug dealer? Are you distributing? What about that delivery person gets stopped? You can go on and on about this. What about that delivery person gets stopped? Huh? Well, do you have to have a license? Or what? Well, it's a lot of things. This is all probably going to get worked out. If the Michigan Supreme Court passes August 7th or a few days after that, there's got to be a lot of looking at loopholes in this law in order for it to be a viable law if they want it to work and if they want to be able to generate any kind of income with this. I'm just putting these questions out there. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. Chat room is open. You want to join the chat room, be aware. I'm all open for that. Chat room is I love to hear people, talk to people, and see what's up. So that's what I had to say about that. Anyway, let's move on. I went further than I wanted to go on that pot thing, but I thought that was pretty crazy, but a pretty unique thing happening in Michigan, and we'll address it in August after the decision by the Michigan Supreme Court to see what the parameters are of that law if it gets passed. The other thing I wanted to talk about, what is it I want to talk about? I talked about Evander. I talked about the, Now you saw what happened. If you watch NBA basketball, it's the Oklahoma City Thunder for the last week since last Sunday. Especially the first two games, got their butts handed to them, and everybody was down on the Oklahoma City Thunder until they came home, and this is what they did. they wore the San Antonio Spurs out the first game when they played them. They beat the San Antonio Spurs the first time by 20 points or thereabouts, and that quieted the talk about the San Antonio Spurs because they broke the San Antonio Spurs 20-game winning streak. The last team to beat them, for those that didn't listen to the Thursday show, we had the director of player development, Phil Handy, on, and he had mentioned the last time that San Antonio Spurs had lost was to the Lakers, and Lakers beat them handedly. So 20 games into the late part of the season and in through the playoffs, the San Antonio Spurs have been very dominant, including the last two games in the NBA West Finals. And then Oklahoma City Thunder came home. And the young boys, and I had said this yesterday on the FSP show hosted by Vic at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Eastern Standard Time. I had said that the Oklahoma City Thunder young players are like sponges. They gained invaluable experience last year against the Lakers, and they've gathered experience throughout the playoffs, including playing the Lakers this year. And what San Antonio did, and this is including the coach too, what San Antonio did in the first two games, the Oklahoma City Thunder handily beat them in the third game of the series when they came home, and sustained a very good run by the San Antonio Spurs last night and won that game 109-103. But these young guys. Like I said, are like sponges. They gain invaluable knowledge from game to game. And I had said on Friday, which would be on the No Chaser show with Mac Williams and me as the co-host, when we had David Aldridge on there, that I thought this would be a home-and-home series. I said it also again on the FSP show yesterday, Saturday, at 1 o'clock with Vic, who hosts that FSP show. I'm saying it again on the master plan, that these guys are like sponges, young guys like sponges, gain invaluable knowledge from game to game, and you saw the difference. Now, why I'm saying this is this, that in the playoffs, the first two games of the playoffs, the Spurs were at home, quite naturally, and they beat the Thunder by 3 points, 101-98. They played them again on Tuesday, and they beat the Thunder by 9 points, 120-111. They played them again on this time. The Thunder is at home. Now, the two wins at San Antonio are combined 12 points that they beat the Thunder. First game by 3 points, second game by 9 points. The Thunder, when they came home, beat the Spurs by 20 points, okay? Last night, they played the Spurs again. They beat the Spurs by 6 points. So combined scores of the Spurs beating the Thunder when the Spurs were at home was 12 points. Combined scores of the Thunder at home beating the Spurs was 26 points, almost, more than double. My contention is this. I said it yesterday and I said it again. One of these teams, quite naturally now because it's 2-2, before this game was played, it was 2-1. I said it quite naturally. One of these teams has to beat the other team on that team's home court if they're going to win this series. And that's obvious now. That's absolute obvious now. But I think I still like the Thunder against the San Antonio Spurs because I think the Thunder have weathered the storm in the four games that they've played the San Antonio Spurs. Check this out. A 20 point win against the Spurs two days ago. A 6 point win with a very determined Spurs team and still lost by 6 points. Spurs only beat out of the two games, the margin of victory that the Spurs, yes, I know they beat them, but the margin of victory that the Spurs beat the Thunder, they only beat them by 9 points. That's the biggest margin of win. I think that 20-point win that the Thunder put on the Spurs is a very telling point. You knew that you were going to get the Spurs' best shot, absolutely best shot to come back from a 20-point loss. Had an attitude, got slapped in the face, kicked around, punched, whatever, because of that 20-point win and experienced Spurs team determined to right that supposedly wrong, came back from a 15-18 point deficit. I think it was a 15-point deficit to make it a close game, but it was a 15-point lead that they had that dwindled in the fourth quarter. So, but what I'm saying is this. They still lost by 6 points. That's three less than the biggest margin of victory that the Spurs had against the Thunder at home. So, Game 5 is absolutely key. Now, that's another obvious thing I'm saying. It's absolutely key for the simple fact is if the Spurs lose there's more than likely that this game won't go past Game 6. If the Spurs lose, this game won't go past 6. If the Spurs win, I think this is a home-and-home series, like I had said before, and I'll say it again. I think it's a home-and-home series, but someone that now definitely has to win on the road. There's no two ways about it. Has to win on the road. And to talk about winning, how about Durantula in the fourth quarter in 7 minutes, in the final 7 minutes of the fourth quarter? He scored 18 of his 36 points when the clutch time needed to be answered. Mr. Clutch of the Oklahoma City Thunder came through. Double team, triple team, whatever team you want to call it, they couldn't stop Kevin Durant when it counted. He went to the ball. He wanted the ball. He got the ball and put the ball in the basket. Not afraid to take the shot. And those shots went in. 36 total points. That Serge Ibaka had a career-high 26 points. And he helped carry the Oklahoma City Thunder for the first three quarters. and the money man, the man with the plan, the man that, in my opinion, should have won the NBA MVP, Kevin Durant, did what he normally does. Give me the ball, I'll take you home, because I am the man when it counts, and he was the man when it counts. He was a one-man wrecking machine. I watched this game for the most part of the game, and he was a one-man wrecking machine. He was absolutely unstoppable. Layups, short and long, jump shots, Kevin Durant proved to me that he should be the MVP of this league. I understand that the LeBron James, and I'm not ever going to call him his Majesty or the King, because I don't believe he's the king of anything. I understand that he is the best overall player, supposedly in the NBA, plays defense, nobody can stop him. Only when it's crunch time, when it's really tight game, when you need your man to come through, don't count on LeBron. I'm telling you, it's been proven over and over again that LeBron James is not the one. Kevin Durant is the one you can count on in crunch time. He's the one that you can count on. So we'll see what happens come, Tuesday. Tuesday is the next game that they'll play. Or is it Monday? I'm sorry, Monday. Monday is the next game that the Thunder will play at 9 o'clock on TNT in San Antonio. So this should be very, very interesting, because I think this series is going to dictate who's going to win the NBA title. I don't think the two teams in the East, and I'll talk about them next, is a viable contender to win. You know, they may give up a fight. They may win one or maybe two games the most, but I don't think that they are capable of beating the Spurs either the San Antonio Spurs or the Oklahoma City Thunder. I don't think that's going to happen. But let's move over to the other side. We're talking about the let's talk about the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics. I'd like to call in. We still got time. Number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220. This is how we do it every Sunday. From 10 o'clock in the morning to 11 Eastern Standard Time. We do this all time, anytime on Sunday, but this is how we like to do it. So if you'd like to call in or be on the chat room, it's no problem. I can deal with that. Anyway, talking about the Boston Celtics and the Miami Heat. Come on, man. Everyone thought the first two games, the Miami Heat was going to run away with this. The old legs of the Boston Celtics were going to be overwhelmed by Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. Well, just like I think what's happening in the Western Conference Finals is happening in the Eastern Conference Finals. These are two teams that are pretty much evenly matched, even more so because of Chris Bosh. I'm not a big Chris Bosh fan, but it's obvious that the third leg of this trio is barely sorely needed for the Miami Heat to get past the Boston Celtics. Game four is being played in Boston. Game five is going to be played in Miami, which is today. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It's not today. It's It's at Boston. The Heat still lead. What am I thinking? The Heat still lead 2-1. So this is a very important game for the Boston Celtics. They have to sustain what they did the last game in order to be able to make it competitive. So we'll see what happens. I mean, the first two games in Miami was very dominant. The last game, Boston came back with a very strong game, all-around game, and beat the Miami Heat. So we'll see what happens with the Boston Celtics. They need another strong game. They need to curtail the dynamic duo of Dwayne Wade and LeBron James in order to and feed the ball into inside out. Work that ball into Kevin Durant, who the Miami Heat really doesn't have an answer to on either side of the court, offensively or defensively, to offset Kevin Durant. So Kevin Durant will be roaming the middle, doing what he does. If they collapse on Kevin Durant, quite naturally, Boston has guys that can penetrate. Kevin can dish to them, or he can kick out for open jumpers, whether three-pointers or two-pointers. Paul Pierce and company and Ray Allen, they can definitely hit jumpers all night to offset the dynamic duo of Dwayne Wade and LeBron James. So this will be another series that will be interesting. I have to wait and see that and be able to assess it on Thursday, which will be the FSP Cruise Show. We'll have the results of three more games. Will be this game on Sunday. We'll have the four games. It'll be this game on Sunday. It'll be the Monday game with the Oklahoma and San Antonio, and then a return match with the Miami Heat and Boston in Miami. And then on Wednesday it will be the San Antonio and Oklahoma. Now this is key, because Oklahoma, like I said, plays tomorrow and then plays on Wednesday. Miami and Boston play on Sunday and play on Tuesday. So either Miami will be up 3-1 going back to Miami, or Boston will tie it 2-2 going back to Miami. And on Monday, the Oklahoma and San Antonio in San Antonio will be either 3-2 going back to Oklahoma, or one way or the other is going to be 3-2. Either San Antonio going back to Oklahoma, or Oklahoma will be up 3-2 going back to Oklahoma. So these two games, especially for right now for Miami and Boston, because Miami is up 2-1, Boston has to win. This is a must-win game for Boston, because the fact is they have to hold home court. They have to hold home court, because if they go back to Miami down 3-1, they're at a huge disadvantage. A huge disadvantage. Just like Oklahoma had to win that game yesterday, because the next game, game five, would be at San Antonio. You don't want to go down 3-1 going back to the other team's home court. You have a better shot, at least, to lengthen the series if you go back tied 2-2, going back to the other team's home court. That way, if you lose that home court, at least you're going back after game five. game six is back at your home court, and you got a chance to even it. Quite naturally, the other team has a chance to close you out on your home court, but you have a better chance of evening it. So you don't want that to happen. Anyway, it's about a little more than 4 minutes left in the show. I'm going to close the show out. We're going to probably try to end this exactly at an hour for a change. Quite naturally, I'm JT, and this is the Master Plan. They call me 18 Money. They call me other things, but this I'm called the Master. I master whatever I do. I'm playing fantasy football, and I've won championships, two to be exact. One free league, one money league last year. I plan to win some more this year, and we'll be talking about fantasy football as we get closer to the football season. Listen to my advice. I think I'm a pretty good evaluator of talent. I think I'm a pretty good guy in fantasy football. I've won championships. I'm not touting myself, but I am touting myself. I think I can give you very good advice on fantasy football. This year, I was asked to join a fantasy baseball league. My first time ever joining a fantasy baseball league. And the league I'm joined is a money league. Vic, who happens to be the host of FSP, asked me to join a league. I joined his league and people for 8 weeks straight. 8 weeks straight. I'm not bragging. I'm just letting you know. For 8 weeks straight, I did my homework. I went in with a plan. And for 8 weeks straight, I have been the number one seed in this league for 8 weeks straight. Now, I have a tough match tonight, this past week, but for 8 weeks straight, I've been on top as the number one seed. I have beaten Vic, who's been a seasoned veteran of fantasy baseball. So what I'm saying is this. That's why I'm called the Master, because I master whatever I do. Yeah, I sound cocky. Yes, I am cocky. But I back up what I say with the proof is in black and white and in my pocket. Talking about money in my pocket. I'm looking to cash in on this fantasy baseball league as a rookie player. Research. Do your due diligence in these leagues, and you can do a lot. You can do a lot. So anyway, here we go. All right, I'm gonna close this out. Tune in next week, same time, same place, at 10 o'clock in the morning till 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Sunday is the Master Plan. On Tuesday would be the Compassion Dakini with Kim Fun. Kim Fun from 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, and then on Thursday would be the FSP Cruise Show. I am the host along with my two co-hosts, Black the Bookie and Jeff the Joker. Give you news and information on the world of fantasy sports and politics. That's the FSP. On Friday, we have the No Chaser Show with Mac Williams and me, JT Money. We give it to you straight, No Chaser. And on the Saturday is the FSP Show with Vic as the host. I am the co-host. And as usual, we go back and forth. We do a lot of bantering and things like that. But that's how we do it. And I'm gonna end the show just like I wanted to. This is how we do it, and that's how I'm doing it. Till next week, have a good week, and be safe. And we'll be talking to you soon. Take care. Well, it seems like my music won't play right now, so what we're going to do is just end this show as we end it. Talk to you later. Enjoy your weekend, and goodbye.